Praise to God for another opportunity to stand before you and proclaim his word. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning came from the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And Lee Brother McDonald started in verse number 4, went through verse number 6. Well, I'm going to reread verse number 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? So as I look around the audience, you know, I see that majority of us have already accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's already started a good work in you. Amen? And so I titled this sermon is that, I am saved, now what? I am saved, now what? Make me something beautiful. Make me something beautiful. You know, when we think of the word beautiful, we usually think of a female, or we think of it in that respect, right? But the Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 10 Romans chapter 10, verse number 15. He says, and how shall they preach except that he be sent? And as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of all good things. Now, that should be all of us. All of us should be going about preaching the gospel, bringing good tidings. That's each and every one of us, right? Amen? So we should want God to make us something beautiful. Make us something beautiful. You know, God has brought us into this kingdom, blessed us with his grace, and brought us into his family. And he brought us there for his good purpose, for his work, for us to do his work for him. Amen? Amen? Now, he don't necessarily need you. Amen? You necessarily need him. Amen? We need a Savior. Why? Because we all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that, right? The Bible tells us that. And over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, you find these words. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom is be glory forever and ever. God wants us to do good work. God brought us into the kingdom to do good work. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, you say, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together in Christ. By grace, we are saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In this age to come, that we might show exceedingly riches and his grace in kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. That's what God's doing for us. Amen? That's what he's doing for us. Now, you know, we've all started our walk in different places. Amen? And we're in different places in our life. And we may not have all fully understand or received the training necessary for us to fully accept our responsibilities as a believer. Amen? 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 Amen. I just want everybody to understand that, right? You know, some people were baptized here. Some people were baptized over there. Some people were baptized all over the place, right? God brought us into the kingdom. But we have a responsibility as a believer. And someone needs to show us that. Someone needs to explain to us that, right? Because if we don't understand our responsibility, right, we just think we just come in and sit down and enjoy the rest of our life until Christ calls us home. Amen? But that's not the purpose. That's not what God has in mind, right? He wants us to glorify him through our work. Amen? Amen. Now, every believer has responsibility to actually work out their own soul salvation. I know you guys heard that before, right? We heard that, right? Right? And so what role are you playing in working out your soul salvation? Amen? Now, a lot of people, you know, they say, I have a role, and I play my role, right? And I'm doing what I need to be doing, right? But, you know, I just want to remind people, see, God has placed you here at Raven Street. Here at Raven Street. That's where you've been planted, right? That's where you should be doing some work at, amen? Now, you don't necessarily have to do all your work here at Raven Street, right? You do some of your work at home, amen? On the job. Amen. Going back and forth on the bus. Amen. In school, you're doing some work. Amen. But you need to be doing some work here. Amen. At Raven Street, in this congregation, amongst the people where he planted you. Amen. Amen. That's the responsibility of all believers. And, you know, we just got to understand that, right? You know, we trusted Jesus Christ, our Savior, for our life, right? That's our hope, right? At the end of this life, or when Jesus come again, we're hoping and we're praying that we're going to be saved, separated with him for eternity. That's what we're hoping for, right? That's what we're banking on, right? That's what we want. That's why we do all the things we do, right? But see, there's a lot of, that we don't know how much time, right? But we know that we're here today. We're here now. And we need to be working here in this garden, in this area, right here to build up the kingdom for each other and for this community. Amen? Amen? And that's our responsibility, right? Now, we like I say, some people say, you know, yeah, I do preach the gospel. I preach it at home, and I preach it at work. I preach at school where I'm at, right? And we do that by the way that we conduct ourselves. Amen? Amen. And that is our responsibility. And see, one thing that all believers have to understand is that God is the big boss. Amen? God is the big boss. And whatever the big boss says, we need to do. Amen? Now, I know on your job, you have a boss, right? And your boss may ask you to do some things from time to time you don't want to do. But a merchant's shaking his head and saying, you don't have a boss no more. He's in retirement, right? But I know when you work for IRS, IRS has a whole slew of regulations, books full of regulations, books of shelves of regulations, right? And people are always pointing and say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, right? You got to follow this one, got to follow that one, right? You just can't do whatever you want. And as a child of God, it's the same thing. We can't just do whatever we want whenever we want to do it. We have a big boss. And I say big boss because this boss takes precedence over our entire life. You know, when I was in the military, one thing I didn't like about the military is military control you 7/24. Amen? There's no off time unless they gave it to you. Right? Right? If they say you're not off yet, you're not off. They want to call you back in, they call you back in, right? You know, in the civilian sector, right? You know, your boss call you back in, you say, I'm not in the position right now. I can't make it now, right? Military, you don't have those choices, right? You got to leave family, wife, and everything. They call you in, that means you got to come in, right? 7/24. Well, in God's army, we have the same responsibility. We're on the job. We're doing what the big boss says, 7/24. In every aspect of our lives, we need to be doing what God wants us to do. Amen? And we need to be checking the Bible to figure out what it is that God wants us to do. That's our responsibility. That's what we need to understand. You know? But God just doesn't send you out there and gives you this responsibility without any help, without any guidance. Right? God, when you were brought into the family, when God accepted you into the family, and you went into the water, and you came up out of the water, and all your sins were cleansed, right? God gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is there to guide you, to direct you, to help you in all facets of life, to help you to understand what it is that God wants you to do. Amen? You know, and that's one way. 1 John 4:13 says, hereby we know that we dwell with him, because he is with us, because he has given us his spirit. His spirit. We have the spirit of God in us. You see, in Philippians 2, 13 and 16, it says, for it is God who works in you both to his will and for his good pleasure. It's for his good pleasure. You know, and it's not because, oh, yeah, I know Brother Feast likes to do this. Oh, yeah, I know Brother Feast likes. It's for his good pleasure. What it is he wants to be done. And that's what we have to do. And we need to do all things. The Bible tells us that we need to do all things without complaining or without disputing. You know, what does that mean? The big boss comes down and says, oh, something needs to be done. First thing we hear, right, is complaining. Why me? Why me? Why couldn't it be someone else? Why is it always I got to get called to do the work, right? You know, instead of just accepting, feeling like it's a blessing for God to call upon me. For God to call upon me. You know, being a man, right, God has put a lot of responsibilities on men to be leaders. To be leaders. To be leaders in the church and to be leaders in their house, right? And being leaders is not a joy all the time. I'm going to tell you, it's not a joy all the time, right? Amen. You know, I know, especially in my house, right? It's not a joy all the time. Because I have to make the decision, right, that people don't like, right? That everybody's not going to like my decision. They're not going to be happy with the decision I make, right? But that doesn't change what God has given me to be responsible for. Amen? Amen? And whether I accept it or not, I'm still responsible. Because God has given me that responsibility. Amen. You know, I feel that there are a lot of things that's wrong in the family situation today. It's because men are not stepping up to responsibility as God has given them. Amen. For a lot of reasons. It could be because of society, because of our own culture, where we came from, right? It could be a lot of reasons, but that does not change the word of God. Amen? Right. Now, and I know in my household, sometimes things go on and have gone on and continue to go on because I allow them. Right. I allow them. I'm not stepping up and being responsible. I'm not taking responsibility. Amen? Amen. You know, and we talk about responsibility, talk about men. You know, I realized one thing a long time ago, you cannot lead from the back. Cannot lead from the back. You need to lead from the front. You need to be in the front leading. Right? That means you got to be setting the example, right? You got to be out there doing it, you know, setting the example, right, before you want others to follow you, right? And then when you look behind you, it shouldn't really matter to you whether someone's following you or not, right? It doesn't change your responsibility. You need to be leading from the front. Amen? So I just want to tell those young brothers sitting in the back there, I'm not picking on you, right? But I just want to let you know, as you begin to gain more responsibility, begin to accept your responsibility in this church, amen, then you're going to understand you're going to need to be up front leading, because that's where you need to be, in the front leading. You cannot lead from the back. Amen. Now, God just doesn't throw us out there, right? You know, 2 Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 tells us, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live soberly and righteous and godly in this present age. God knows how dark and wicked the world is. He knows that. And he loves us so much, he's already given us everything we need. Everything we need. We just need to get into the book and stay on course. Stay on target. Follow what the Bible says, right? You know, in what majority of time where we have a problem is right, that we cannot humble ourselves. Amen? We cannot humble ourselves to follow the word of God. You know? Because sometimes, a lot of times, the word of God is not what we want to do. Amen? We're not there emotionally or intellectually. You're just not, simply not there, right? And we just can't humble ourselves because it's not the understanding of God's word, right? It's not reading and understanding what he wants to. We just don't want to humble ourselves and follow the word of God. And follow the word of God. You know, 1 Peter 5 and 6 tells us, humble thyself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt, that he may exalt you in due time. That's what the Bible says, right? That's what the Bible says. So, you know, being a child of God, We have to learn to humble ourselves. It may not feel good when you humble yourself, right? You know, it may not feel good, right? It may not even look good to other folks, right? Other folks may be saying, why are you letting those people do that? Why are you letting so-and-so say this to you, right? This one may you be hearing, right, from other folks, right? But see, when you humble yourself, like the Bible says, right, in due time, he will exalt you. That's what the Bible says. You know, the God's ultimate goal for all of his children is that we become Christ-like. Amen? That's his goal, that we become Christ-like. In every facet of our lives, we need to be Christ-like. Everything that we do, every thought that we have, we need to be Christ-like. You know, and so you can't be thinking something and thinking that it's okay with God if it's contrary to the Word of God. You know, and if we do, it happens to us sometimes, right? We get to go off, our mind gets to thinking, right? And the mind just kind of wanders off in some area, right? And you say, that's not Christ-like. You got to end that. You got to say, that's not Christ-like, and stop thinking about that. Don't allow your mind to just continue to dwell on that and dwindle on that and keep running and running and running on something that's ungodly. But the Bible says that we can control every thought. And I know that's kind of hard for people, right? But that's what the Bible says, right? And the Bible says it's possible for us to do that. Amen? And if it's possible for us to do it, then we need to just start practicing it. We need to start doing it. Now, there's some changes that happens to each of us as believers. First of all, there's inward changes that take place. Amen? Amen? That's what repentance is all about. Repenting is an inward change. Amen? In your mind, you say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Right? In your mind, there's a conscious awakeness that says that my behavior is contrary to the Word of God. And it starts in the mind first. And you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to act like that anymore. And so that's the first thing. That's where it starts it. In your conscience, right? There's a conscious awareness that my behavior, my action, my thought is contrary to the Word of God, and I want to change it. You become aware of those things, right? Because we all got to admit, sometimes we're doing things and we're not even aware of it. Amen? You know, we're just not aware of it, right? You know, you just didn't think about it like that, right? You didn't see it that way, right? You just didn't think about it. You're just doing it, right? And you're not aware of it. Amen? Amen? And one of the things about a child of God, for some way, somehow, through his word, through circumstances, right, he makes us aware of certain things. And when we become aware of those things, right, when we become conscious aware of it, we have to make a change, that we want to change, that we want to be pleasing and acceptable unto God. And see, the way we do that, right, the way we do that is we have to always be searching for the truth. Searching for the truth. You know, we spent some time earlier in Bible school talking about how you know, we learn a lot of things from a lot of different folks. Right? We learn things from our parents, right? We learn things from as we was growing up, from our mom and our dad, right? And people, our relatives around us, right? And we kind of hold on to those things. As a child, you hold on to those things, right? Because you don't know any better, right? You just hold on to them, right? But as when you become a Christian, right, you need to be searching for the truth in God's word. You can no longer depend on just because it was taught to me by anybody, any man. Doesn't matter who, right? We need to understand that we need to search for the truth in God's word. The Bible tells us that for everyone that does evil hates the light, and he that does truth comes to the light, for his deeds may be manifested that are wrought in God. And that's John chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Then after that, you have to understand that your spirit has to be intertwined or in agreement with the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, when you were born, the Holy Spirit came upon you. And the Bible talks about the flesh and the spirit, right? Feeding the flesh and feeding the spirit, right? Bible talks a lot about that, right? Now the Holy Spirit, right? You know, it uses scripture, uses the words, right, to bring you consciously aware of the things that you're doing. You know, the Bible tells us, for many of you are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have to allow that Holy Spirit God has given us to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, right? We have to fight against anything that's contrary to the Spirit of God. But we need to be aware that we are sons of God. That's what the Bible says, right? We are sons of God. You know, and God has given us a spirit. He cleansed us, given us a spirit, and made us sons. And lastly, we have to know without a doubt that God loves us. That God loves us. He in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39 says that, I am persuaded that I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, or power, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have to understand that God loves you that much. None of those things can separate us from the love of God. And then you say, well, what happens? What happens is that we separate ourselves, right? We separate ourselves from the love of God. If we would stay with God, in God, in God's word, God loves us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, once those inwardly things, right, then there's some outwardly things that would happen to each believer, right? And sometimes a lot of people, right, they like going through the motion to show these outwardly things without some inward process taking place, right? Without any true repentance, right? They want to stand up and say that I'm changing, right? And then the next day they're back to doing what they were doing. Right? A lot of people like to do that, right? You know, they want to change outwardly, right? Just so that they do it for people's sake, right? Instead of changing inward for God's sake, right? To glorify God, right? They want to change outward. But I want to tell you, though, there are some outward changes that will come about. You know, first of all, we should all have a desire for the scripture. Amen? We should all want to feed on the scriptures on a daily basis, just like we love food, amen? Just like you get hungry, you want to eat, amen? We should have a desire to say, what does God have for me today? What does God want to show me today? Where does God want to direct me today? What is the word of God that I need to be focused on today? We have to have the desire to do that. So outwardly, we would be going, getting the Bible and reading scripture, reading the Bible on a daily basis, right? You know, some of us couldn't even think about going without food a day. You know, some of us can't even think about going without food just the morning, right? Just the afternoon, right? Skip lunch. Oh, no, we're not skipping lunch, right? You know, I know I have three boys, right? They couldn't skip a meal. They didn't care what time it was, right? 10 o'clock at night. Oh, we haven't ate dinner yet. You know, can't skip dinner, right? You know, me, I say, okay, I'm 10 o'clock. I can skip dinner, right? It's too late for the eat. No, not my boys, right? And we should have that same desire for the Word of God. Wanting the Word of God. Saying, hey, I'm missing something, right? I'm missing something today. I didn't get my Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Man should not live on bread alone, but by the every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, and so how are you living? Are you living on bread alone? Are you seeking the word of God? You know, are you digging into the scripture? Are you studying the scripture? Do you have a pattern where this is the time I'm going to study the scripture every day? I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to interpret some scripture. I'm going to study some scripture. So that's an outward sign. That's an outward sign. And that's not for show for anyone, right? That's an outward sign that you desire the word of God. And then, you know, another outward sign is that, well, when believers, we develop a difference of standards. You know, we begin to change our habits. You know, this doesn't happen overnight. You know, I try to tell people, you know, when you go and you're baptized, right, and Jesus, you wash all your sins away, right, and you get the Holy Spirit, right, and you come up out of the water, you still got your same old habits. Your habits didn't change just because you got baptized, right? You got your same old habits, right? You go back into your old neighborhood, right, and your old friends, and they want you to do the same thing you was doing yesterday. It didn't change, right? You go back to work, and they talk to you the way they used to talk to you, right? They think you're doing the same old thing, right? You have your same old habits. It take time to change those habits. But you got to recognize, you got to do is that first it's got to be an inward change, right? An inward change first, right? And then the outward change. You can't just pretend like I'm going to stop doing all this, right, without an inward change. Because as soon as something happens in your life, you go right back to those things that you used to do. Because there's no inward change. There's no change inside of you. But the Bible tells us that each of us is a new creature. And that all things are passed away, right? And all things are new, right? And so we have to come up with new standards. Each of us have to develop ourselves that certain things that we're not going to be able to do because it's too tempting to us, right? That certain things that what we used to do now no longer we can do because that pulls me away from God. That pulls me away from God. And then there's a difference in self, you know, difference in self. Those habits that we used to endure, right, we need to start taking a stronger look in our lives, at our habits, at the things we do. We need to take a serious look. If we all believers, right, and we want God's word to change us, right? We need to take a serious look at our lives and what are we doing? You know, there are some things in our life. There may be some things in our life that are harmful to us, that stimulate us in a harmful manner. Right. And we're still doing them. We're still allowing them to happen in our lives. Right. We need to take a serious look at those things and begin to move away from those things. Right. Remove away from the things that are harmful to us. You know, it could be as simple as the types of music that we listen to, the types of movies that we watch. It could be, you know, staying up all night, you know, or staying out all night. You know, the way that we dress, right? You know, and I'm just saying that you need to take a serious look at yourself, you know, because some things that may be harmful to me, you may deem not to be harmful to you. And it could be true, right? But we all need to look at ourselves, right, to see what we deem, what habits do we have that are harmful to us. It says, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, every man that has this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. That's each and every one of us. We need to purify ourselves, right? That's what we need to do. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, it says, hereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's why we have to purify ourselves, right? We have to purify ourselves. You know, and then another outward change that we have is that we begin to seek other Christians. Amen? You know, when we begin to purify ourselves, we begin to realize and begin to understand that all of our friends we hang around doesn't really do us any good. They're harmful to us, right? And it's like a tug of war when you go around those folks, right? And, you know, sometimes You don't mind a little tug of war, right? It's okay, right? But you have to understand, you may not want that tug of war all the time, right? And so you limit your the opportunity you have to be around them, right? And what you shall replace that with is being around other Christians, right? Amen? So when you get around other Christians, right, you don't have that same tug of war that you have when you be around your other friends, right? You know, them trying to encourage you to do things that are ungodly, encourage you to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing, right? Encouraging you to step out a little bit further in a direction, right, that will lead you off into sin, right? You know, you want to be around other Christians, right, that where you don't have that tug of war, right, where they have some encouragement, right, where you have some positive things going on, right, and we have things that will move you closer to serving God. You know, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another, provoke unto love and unto good works. That's Christians, right? That's what happens when you get around other Christians, right? They should be encouraging one another, right? So when you are choosing, when you're making a conscious decision not to be around other Christians, right, then I don't know where this is happening at. You know, I don't know where it's happening at. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. You know, that's what we're doing when we are being around one another, when we're talking to one another, when we're sharing things with one another, right? We can be edifying one another to glorify God. Amen? And see, when we don't do that, right, when we choose to be around other folks. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being around other folks, right? I'm just saying that as a Christian, right, we should have a preference to be around other Christians. Amen? That's all I'm really saying. We should have a preference to be around other Christians, right? You know, we should get tired of that tug of war, right? And telling people all the time, watch your language. Don't say this. Don't talk about this. Let's don't do this. I don't do that anymore, right? And you know, we get tired of talking like that, right? We should prefer to be around other Christians, right? And hopefully those things are not being discussed. Amen? 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 And if so, then you need to encourage them, right? You need to be encouraging them. Amen. You know, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10, it says, whatever your hands find to do. Oh, hold up. Let me get that. Okay. Whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Sooner or later, unless Jesus comes first, right, we're all going to end up in the grave. And there's no work to do there, right? And so while we're on this time of life, right, the Bible tells us that whatever our hands find to do, right? Whatever our hands find to do. And I really, really want to encourage everyone to look here in this congregation to find something to do. Right? Here in this congregation, find something to do. And I know we all have other responsibilities, right? That at the house and at work and other things. But I want us to focus on finding something to do here. Finding some work for the Lord here to do. You know, I just wanna you know, give thanks to the four precious souls that came out yesterday. Five, including myself. Amen. You know, came out yesterday, right? You know, and I know we all have busy schedules, right? You know, I had a busy schedule. You know, but some of you, I'm not trying to judge anybody, right? I just want to give thanks to the four precious souls that came out yesterday to do the work of the Lord, right? They saw fit, right? Whatever they were. Let me put it like this: they were blessed with opportunity to serve God, and they submitted themselves to the opportunity. Amen, right. Amen. So you know that's what we're talking about, right? There's much work to be done, much work to be done here in the kingdom of God, and you know we, the children of God, right, we have a responsibility to work out our own soul salvation. You know, there's Over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil. You know, there's a lot of evil things in this world. A lot of bad things can happen to me and you, and they have happened to us, right? You know, and we allow every bad thing that happens to us to consume us, right? Then that's what's done. We overcome by evil. We have been overcome by evil, right? Whereas we don't want to do anything, right? Because of this, because of that, right? And we all have those. We all can list them, right? We all can make a whole list of things that happen to us in our lives, right? And because of these things, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here, right? I can't go no further, right? Can't do this, can't do that. You know, praise God to Sister Andrews. You know, she can't walk very far. But she was one of those precious souls that was out walking yesterday. Amen. Walking for the Lord. Amen. For the Lord. In spite of what was ailing her, right? What was aching her, right? She was out walking for the Lord. You know, that's what we need more of. That's what we need to worry. We don't need to look at reasons why we can't do things, right? The Bible tells us that we overcome evil with good. We overcome evil with good. So in spite of all those things that happened to you last week, or all those things that are still happening to you, right? Let's get out and serve God. We overcome evil with good. The more evil things that are happening to you, the more bad things that happen to you, serve God more. Focus on serving God. See what you can do for God. Amen? The Bible said, I already read it to you, in due time, right? He will exalt you. That's what the Bible says, right? He will exalt you. Even if you have to serve him, work for him until you die. And in death, that's when he exalts you, so be it. Amen? So be it. But it may not have to wait then. But I'm not God, and I can't tell you when it's going to happen. But that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. He will exalt you in due time. Amen? You know, and you know, we got to stick to our task. Our task is that we need to work out our soul salvation. Amen? Each and every day, right? And I'm hoping that some of the things I mentioned, it kind of stir up some things in you, right? Allow you to focus on some things in your life, right? To look at your life, to see where I am, how have I been serving God, right? Am I working out my soul salvation, right? In all aspects of my life. Because, yes, you have some soul salvation to work out in your home. Amen? Yes, you have soul salvation to work out in your work. Amen? But, yes, you have soul salvation to work out here at Raven Street also. Amen? And we can't miss none of them. We have to do it all. It has to be a complete package, right? Right? It has to be a complete package, right? We have to be, we want our soul salvation to be worked out in every area of our lives. We have to be doing what's pleasing and acceptable unto the Lord. Amen? You know, a lot of us, after a while, you know, we kind of look back, or we kind of say, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, or I've done this, right? I used to do this, right? You know, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. You know, we can't hold on to those things behind. Whether it's good or bad. Whether something good has happened to us, whether God has glorified us, whether we glorify God in something we did in the past, or something bad has happened to us. We can't hold on to those things. It's done, right? It's done. The Bible says, hey, it says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to the things that are before us. And so what's before us? Working out our soul salvation. Working out our soul salvation. You know, and we got to press. He says, I press towards the mark. I press towards the mark. You know, we need to do this. We need to press towards the mark. Way to do that is by daily prayer. Daily prayer. We all should have something to pray to the Lord about. Amen. We all should have something to pray to the Lord about. You know? And we all should have something to pray to the Lord about three times a day. You know, and the Bible says that, in Bible Psalms 83, 86 and 3 says, be merciful unto me, O Lord. I Oh Lord, I cry unto you, to you daily. You know, daily is where, and in Thessalonians says that pray without ceasing, right? Pray without ceasing. We need to be in continuous prayer to the Lord, because we all have things. We all have things. No matter where we are in our walk, we all have things that we need to be praying about. No matter how young you are or old you are, you have things that you can pray about the Lord. And then we should be praising the Lord daily. Praising the Lord daily. You know, praising the Lord is just giving thanks to the Lord for where you are. For where you are. You know, giving thanks to the Lord for where you are. Then we need to have daily fellowship with the Lord. Daily fellowship with the Lord. That means getting into the Word. Getting into the Word. And reading the Word and studying God's Word and understanding where you may be falling short at. Right? Where you falling short at. Now, the Bible tells us that the gospel is all about Jesus Christ coming to this earth, right? And dying for you and me, for our sins, right? And you need to know that. That's good news. That's what the good news is all about. Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ did for us, right? And if you want to, and most of us have already understood that. And we already submitted ourselves to baptism, right? And so now you're in the family. And so now what? Now what? We should all want God to make us something beautiful, right? To make us something beautiful. On His Word to make us something beautiful. Now, if you're not a part of God's family, you need to understand that. First, you already heard the Word. You already heard how Jesus came to this earth and died for your sins. Now you need to believe that with all your heart. You need to believe that. You need to believe that with all your heart. And then you need to make a decision that I want to make a change in my life. I want to be able to partake in these things that you talk about. To have that blessing, to have eternal life in Jesus Christ. You know, I don't wanna go through all the struggles and all the things that most people go through, right? Making decisions about life. I wanna read the Word of God and follow it. See, when you're reading the Word of God and you're following it, then a lot of decisions in this life are already made for you. The map is already there, you just follow the map. So you don't have to say, well, do I wanna do this or do that? See what God's Word says, right? And follow that. And so once you made up your mind, that's what you want, right? That's what repentance is all about, right? Then you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you be baptized. Then you be baptized in the water, cleansing your sins away, right? From the remission of your sins, right? And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once you have that gift of the Holy Spirit, then you're empowered to live out your life the way God wants you to live it out. God can make you something beautiful. Amen? God can make you something beautiful. Going around this dark world, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Being a light in this world, and that's what we all want to be. That's what we all want to be. I know we all want to be there because we keep showing up Sunday after Sunday, right? Sunday after Sunday, right? And I just want to let everyone know that God has a task for you. He's already given you talent. He's called you in the kingdom to exercise that talent. Right. All you have to do is start submitting yourself to doing the work in the kingdom, especially here at Raven Street. Amen? Amen. Amen. So as we stand and see the song of invitation, if you're not a child of God, now's the time to come forth. If you are a child of God, take a look at where you are in life. Are you working out your soul's salvation? Or are you allowing the things of this world, the evil things that have happened to you, the bad things that are happening to you? Are you being overcome by evil? And if you feel that that's where you are, the Bible says to overcome evil with good.